Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Title of the message is a relationship over rules. We have a tendency as people oftentimes to look at things based on rules. We have rules for our life, and rules are good. Not saying that, but at the same focus, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, you know, a lot of times people will say the fact that, well, if you're that Christian, you got to follow all those rules. And yeah, God laid down some rules. He gave 10 commandments. Jesus made them a little more succinct, brought them into two. And in the old law, there was a lot of rules about, in order to gain forgiveness, you had to sacrifice certain things. I mean, the book. If you're a person that likes rules, you will love reading the book of Leviticus. Okay. If any of you ever read a law book, you can go read. And if you enjoyed it, then you can go read the book of Leviticus, and you'll fit right in. Because Leviticus is one rule after another rule. And he sets all that statute, and there's a reason for those. And that was the old covenant. And that's where we have to make that distinction. It's not the rules went away. They're still good guides for our lives that God has given. Okay? And just like we see in our world, there's things that are good, but if you go to an excess in them, they become bad for you. Medications, things of that nature. Most all of the drugs that become illicit, with a few exceptions, started out being to help people. It's that they are overused. And so then becomes the problem. And the rules that God gave us in the old covenant was anticipation of the Messiah coming. Well, the Messiah has now come. Lived, was prosecuted, died on a cross, but yet resurrected. And if you remember, when we take the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, he says expressly in that, this is a new covenant. In other words, a new contract. It did not abolish the old. It simply took that as its basis and built on it, but it is a new covenant that is due to faith, mine and your faith, in him, and his mercy, his grace. The song you sang a while ago about we need mercy now. You see, mercy is given freely with no expectation of anything in return. And so we have oftentimes, we make these rules because we want it to fit our narrative. You ever found it amazing? We have one Bible. Now, I understand there's different versions, right? But we have one Bible, God's Word. And yet, how many denominations do we have? And out of that one Bible, how many different variations of what men think that it says? They vary as wide as you want to go. I can take any scripture, you know, and I'm always reminded of, we had Andy Griffith had the town drunk, right? Well, we had one of those in Odessa as well. And I got kind of tickled at him, and his last name was Rags. Rags was a frequent flyer at the jail. Rags was a trustee. And anytime Rags got out, you know, but Rags had Rags had a Bible history in him. And you would find him passed out sometimes to the point that you had to pick him up, load him up, carry him upstairs, put him in the bed until he sobered up the next morning. Rags was a good cook. We enjoyed it when Rags came to jail. And he'd always share that with people, the officers on duty. But I asked Rags one time, I said, why do you do that? He says, well, the Lord turned water into wine. I'm just enjoying what the Lord has given. His first name was Brian. I said, Brian, I think you misinterpreted that somewhere. I said, well, what's your interpretation? I said, but wine back then wasn't with the wine you're drinking, buddy. That's not MD 2020. There's a difference in that, okay? But you see, we can make it be anything we want it to be. And even more so in our society today. It's nothing's new, but they really pull on that today to find the certain scripture they want. And they try to use that. And yet what is missing is that God's word that we have, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, is uniquely made, spoken by one true author. There's 66 books. There's 40 different authors, 40 different writers, transcribers of being men. But there's one true voice. And so if it's not consistent throughout, that's a wrong interpretation. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and we're going to look at that scripture here in a minute, took those, the book of Leviticus, and took what God had said, no different than today, and they had morphed that into the religion they wanted it to be. And please understand that even today, all the different denominations and different ones believe different things. It is morphed by the interpretation of man. Okay? And that's why we try to always read, what does the Scripture say? This is the baseline. No matter what else takes place, the baseline comes back to the foundation and to the truth. And so here in Matthew 12, Jesus is confronted by the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who today, they're not exactly lawyers, but they were the etiquette group of the Jewish religion. They made sure that everybody followed the exact rules that they had laid down, based on biblical rules, but their rules. You say, well, if it's God's rules, how's that? I'll give you a real quick example. Our constitution of our nation from our forefathers is based, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. It is based on God's rules. However, through a period of time, man has determined in his infinite wisdom to modify those statutes. And so what was black and white now becomes very gray. So this morning, what we want to look at is, where does God see the rules versus his relationship? Jesus came when, as I said, this new covenant based on a relationship with him of faith. It is of trust that he is believing he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, and that by his shedding of his blood once and for all of mankind, by believing and trusting in him and asking him to be our Lord and Savior, that all sacrifices of the old covenant, all that different variety that God had set forth, was taken away. One simple sacrifice had to happen. And I say simple, it was not simple for him. But for you and I don't have to remember what every one of those, the grain or the bird or the calf or the goat or the whatever it is, it didn't matter because there's one atoning blood, which is Christ. Now, with that, I said one simple way. We have to believe. We have to ask. And then we have to trust. We believe He is the Christ. We confess that we have sin. We ask Him into our heart. And we have faith or trust that at that moment when we accept Him, He comes into our heart, that Spirit. That's a relationship, not a rule. Okay? Matthew 12. Invite you to stand if you're able to honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, what we call Sunday, and His disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to Him, "Lord, Your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But He said to them, being Jesus, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read the law? On the Sabbath, the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless. Yet I say to you, in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even on the Sabbath." Now when He had departed from there, He went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And He asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" That they might accuse Him. And then He said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And then He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him. You may be seated. This idea of mercy that we come to our Lord with, the mercy and the grace is of His giving. God made a promise that the Messiah would come. And in fact, that promise has been fulfilled. A promise just as, take heart, Jesus said that He would come again. He's always faithful and true to those promises. Despite what you might hear out in the world, I assure you, at the appropriate time that the Father tells the Son, "Bring the children home," He will return and bring us home. We already see the things in prophecy taking place. We had that discussion, Royce and I did, or yesterday, about the things that we are seeing. And there's so much controversy over AI. And now we've taken away, I got kind of tickled, we've taken away the penny, right? And sure enough, the headline was, "The nickel is next. And then it will be the dime. And then the quarter." Well, I'll tell you what, let's just go cashless completely. So if you read prophecy, it talks about our money will be controlled. So you start seeing the tail signs of things coming. You also read prophecy, and this is a little bit of Noble's SDN philosophy. AI, folks, yes, is something that has been conceived, but it also tells us about the false prophet. And the Antichrist, and how it is witnessed that he is killed, but yet he claims through that, they claim because they see him speaking everywhere, that he has been resurrected. AI. We already see that right now. Brought up Dolly Parton. The other musicians are complaining right now because AI is regenerating their voices and their faces on things they haven't produced. So little things to look at as you go through watching our current situation and watching what prophecy says, if you're in tune to that, because you will see those things beginning to line up. The Abraham cord was very much a part of that. And you notice that it is coming back into the news again about the Abraham cord and the Arab nations beginning to join together. Those things have to happen for the prophecy that says for 3.5 years there will be worldwide peace. So those things are all transitioning to take place. Back on the topic at hand here of the rules. So the Pharisees see that Jesus is walking through the grain fields, he and his disciples, they're healing, they're teaching, and it is on the Sabbath. Now, also that question comes up, is Sunday the only day that I can worship? Who came up with that idea? You know, the thing about it, and God says his timing is not our timing. If you ever really sit there and work, he talks about the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, sixth day, and in Genesis it says on the Sabbath he rested. There is no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay? That one day that we take rest is from our labors, that we concentrate on the Sabbath, whatever day of the week that may be for you or I, and it depends sometimes on what vocation we're in, but that we take a day and we honor God for that day. And we concentrate on Him as a special part of that week. Not that we shouldn't concentrate on Him the rest of the week, but that we atone that day to be His. Now, throughout history, because calendars were built, the Jewish Sabbath was a Saturday. On the resurrection, by the calendar, it was a Sunday. We have adopted Sunday as our Sabbath day, if you will. But what about the guy that works shift work and he's off Wednesday and Thursday? He's working on Sunday. If we were to go back here by what they have here, the rules set forth, then he would be in violation of doing any labor on that Sunday. Well, aren't you glad that EMS personnel works on Sunday? Kind of like those guys that submit, I got a feeling I'm going to be sick Monday, I need to take it off. Well, this is Friday. How do you know you're going to be sick Monday? I don't know about y'all, but when I get attacked with something, I generally don't get a notice that, hey, on Tuesday, you're going to be struck with the flu. It just shows up, okay? And so they're nitpicking what is here, and you say, well, preacher, what's the purpose of this message? The purpose is this. Oftentimes the world will ridicule you based on their interpretation of Scripture, which they may or may not know. It's not about what man says, folks. It's about the relationship of where God leads you, despite what day of the week it is. This was simply an example that Jesus was able to use to them. So they start out on this that they're after him about the guys picking the grain as they walk through the field and eating it. They did not eat all day. And we know that the ministry of Jesus, he traveled many hours of the day. They didn't take a lunch break. At times they did sit down and feed the people. But if you notice in those cases, it was always about the people are hungry, the people are tired. It wasn't I'm tired and I'm hungry. He's always looking to others. And so here they chastise him that you're doing something on the Sabbath, picking grain, and he comes and gives them scripture of which they should know, being the scholars of the world, and he uses David and his men where literally they were famished and had no food, and they went into the temple and ate the bread that was supposed to be only for the priest. And God did not strike them dead because God understood their heart of being hungry and their humanness, and God did it for their substance. He allowed it for their substance. He also talks about if your animal gets hurt or is in a pit, are you not going to try to get him out? Matter of fact, you can go one step further. Most of the time, if we're not able to do it alone, we're going to call someone of our buddies to come help us. So now we've invited them to commit the crime, right? And because we are good friends, they come and participate in our crime. And give what? The sheep, the goat, the cow, whatever it is, out of the pit. And Jesus goes into the synagogue here, and here is a man with a withered hand. Now I want you to take for a moment and put yourself in that place. We kind of almost got to that with our medical field today, right? Now would you prefer Jesus to uphold that he can't restore your hand on the Sabbath and goes away into the next town and city until he makes it back through again? Or would you prefer him to have healed you right there on the spot? See, I've heard from all of y'all. Yeah, I went and had them tests done. Now I got to wait 3 weeks. They can't tell me the answer to those tests. Or they can't tell me you're going to give me the medicine that will heal me up. I always like it if you get a cold or something, you feel it coming on, and you say, hey, can you send me some antibiotics? I know the cold's coming. And they go, well, it's 3 weeks before we can get you in. Well, good. In 3 weeks, if I'm still alive, I'll come see you, and I probably won't need the antibiotics because I've lived through it. But you could help me get through it sooner. And that's exactly what they're doing here because of their rules. Jesus says, and I would tell you the same thing because it's what he has here, if you're moved by the Spirit, the rules don't matter. You follow what God's leading you to do. And so here Jesus heals the man, and in fact he says everything that is done is not through him, but it's by the Father. The Father restores the man's hand. Jesus is not struck dead for disobedience. Matter of fact, if you read down a little further, he goes through the fact that God said, it is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And we saw that take place as recorded when he was baptized and the dove came upon him. And he spoke from heaven. We come to church, some people do, because, well, it's the rule. It's Sunday. I have to go to church on Sunday. Are there those who come twice a year? It's Easter. It's Christmas. Oh, yeah, maybe third time because it's Mother's Day. And Mama said I had to go. You see, that's out of rules. Jesus said, I create a new covenant. A covenant that we're obedient to him, not out of rules, but out of a relationship. And you say, preacher, how do you know that? Because the whole essence is that God give us the free will to choose. He's always interested through his grace and his mercy of blessing us and doing what is best for us. And he knew that the best thing, that we could not by our works make ourselves good enough to be a part of his family. We're all guilty. We've all had sin. One thing God cannot do is look upon sin. And so therefore he sent his Son, his Messiah, to come for you and I. But as we talk about in the invitation, I've heard people before, well, I got to wait till Sunday to accept Jesus because you have to do it at the altar call. Find that rule for me. It's kind of like those who say, well, unless you're baptized, you can't go to heaven. I will use the thief on the cross. I assure you they did not let him down. And I assure you if he had any brain at all, he would not have come back after being baptized to be put back on the cross, right? But yet Jesus said, today, you'll be in paradise with me. No baptism. It is the fact he confessed, he believed, and he trusted. It's by faith. And so the new covenant that Jesus creates that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper, he took the bread, he said, "This is my body." It's symbolic. And then he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." Yes, he actually shed his blood. But it was one sacrifice for all. He says that he would rather have our obedience or our trust, our faith, than he had sacrifice. When you and I are obedient to the Holy Spirit, that aroma that it speaks of in the Old Testament from the sacrifices that went up, God was pleased that they were obedient to do that. Ours is 100 times more than that. If the Lord, the Holy Spirit, tells you and I to help someone or to do this or that or to forgive, whatever it is, and we're obedient to following that, that's a relationship. You see, if my wife asked me to do something that I really could care less about doing, but I will do it because of my love for her. That's a relationship. And that's what God desires from you and I. It's not about the rules. It's the relationship. You see, I will go do what it is that she asks. One, because I love her. Two, to honor her, even though I really could care less. I don't care to go do it. I will go do it out of love, not obedience. If she wants something repaired, I don't have to repair it. I'll call Gerald. "Hey, Gerald, come over here and fix this for my wife. She wants it done, but I don't want to do it. And I'll pay you to go do it." See, that's cheating the rule. I just cheat, or not the rule, cheating the relationship. The relationship is, I will give of myself to achieve something for someone else. God didn't require that you and I have to come to Jesus and force that. He gave you, this is the ultimate, he gave you and I free will to choose. We can choose Christ or we can reject him. Now, his Spirit will come to us many a time trying to show us that his way is better than our way. But he never forces it. I know sometimes those of us that are hard-headed, we get put into the spot that we finally have our brain to realize, "You know what, Lord? I need you." That's not force. He's simply showing you a bad side and a good side. I still have to be the one to choose his way or my own way. Y'all have all seen this in your life, right? Somebody at work tells you this is how you need to do this. You then have the choice. You can do it their way, or you can go ahead and do it your way. That's free choice. Now, when the boss says, "Okay, Donnie, if you don't do it my way, I'm going to terminate you." Now, Donnie, understand, it ain't a choice no more. I either do it his way or I get fired. Lord never does that. He leaves it to your option because he desires the relationship. You see, all the rules that come into play out of the Old Testament, they're guidelines for you and I to have a better and more abundant life through him. They're not hard and fast rules. So today, I bring you that message that God laid for the simple fact of this. Someone, or maybe several of you in here, are going through some trials out in the world. What I would tell you is stay true to your faith. Stay true to the essence of what God's statutes are, His guidelines. Because better to serve Him and be at peace with Him than to be at odds with Him by following what the world says I have to do. Yes, I have bosses at work, but I also believe that work was given to me by God. My Bible tells me that I should respect my bosses. But at the same token, there's a point that I can't cross that line because it's against my Father's statutes. Being a Christian is not simple. Most of you realize that. We pay a price to choose our Savior, just as Jesus paid a price to choose His Father's will, that you and I might come to Him as His brothers and His sisters, not as little robots, but His brothers and His sisters, that we could have a relationship, that God doesn't see us as we are, He sees us through the blood of His Son, which means we're holy and we're righteous. That's some mighty powerful grace for some of us to overlook all of those things. Your song said we could use a little mercy now. Folks, I got news for you. I need mercy every single day and every minute of every day. And yeah, we can use His mercy nationwide, worldwide. The key thing, He provided that mercy. His name's Jesus Christ. So if you want mercy, you have to have a relationship with Him. He doesn't impound you with rules. There's a relationship. All you have to do, He says, is to come to Me and ask. All you have to do is believe in Me and to trust Me. That's not a hard rule. See, too many people believe it's all about if I work harder, God will approve me more. No. God approves you because He sends His Holy Spirit to offer you salvation. He's not worried about the works. He's worried about your heart and your relationship with Him. That's why it's not a head knowledge. It's a heart knowledge. It's a relationship. But you have the free will. You can choose the rules or you can choose the relationship. Bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done.